And we're tuned back in. This is a Barden report from Republic Broadcasting. DJ Barden is my name. And we're here with a worthy man who tells the truth in science. That is Piers Corbin, who is an established, well-established meteorologist and astrophysicist. And weatheraction.com is the name of his site. If you want to see the truth about That's weather right. and weather forecasting, if you want a long-range weather forecast. Am I leaving anything out, Piers?
No, that's right. We do long-range weather forecasts for Britain and Ireland is one set of forecasts, Europe is another, and the USA mm-hmm. is another. And we are also now going to be developing Australia, Southeast Asia, and hopefully China. We've got some mm-hmm. ideas and ways of doing these things, which have come from recent studies. So just get on there. We have some superb offers now, reduced rates for the whole winter, for example, for Britain and Ireland, which we've produced already, and Europe and the USA, which we're in the process of doing, which will be out very soon. If you get on there, you can get these at reduced rates, which will help our researchers, of course. Because we don't get any public funding for our work. It's entirely
fully independent,
funded by
it's just as well,
selling a forecast to farmers and businesses.
Sure, very worthy profession. It's just as well, you're untainted by any commercial interest whatsoever. It's independent scientific research.
That's right.
If people want to phone in and have a question for Piers Corbin, it's 800-313-9443. We have a dedicated caller up there in Washington who's an eco farmer. We might hear from her today. Jenna, we'll see what happens. But this other argument which makes me scream, these clucky audience, nobody can rig an audience like the BBC on Question Time, and say, oh, the science is settled. That must make you tear your hair out.
Yeah, well, Galileo was told the science is settled, and behind the people telling him this was a torture chamber. and, of course, behind the message to the world, there is also government control of funding of science. And basically, scientists know that if they step out of line, they will be demoted or lose their jobs. I mean, David Bellamy, for example, was a very vigorous, outspoken... Well, he didn't have anything to say at one point, and then he realised the CO2 story was nonsense, said so on the BBC, and within a couple of weeks, he lost all his posts and his various positions outside the BBC. He was just removed.
David Bellamy.
He was a well-known broadcaster who had plenty to say.
Absolutely.
And he was very, very interesting and well-regarded. But when he started saying the CO2 story was false, he got, he didn't just get demoted, he got removed completely from the BBC. David Attenborough must know, being an intelligent man, that what he's saying about climate change is a pack of lies. But if he did say that, I'm sure he'd lose his job.
Yeah, I've noticed that, actually. But just to say, to back you up on David Bellamy is the person who taught the Irish how important, the burren, it's tundra in County, the burren in County Clare.
Yes,
it's tundra,
absolutely.
Where rare flowers grow. And he lived on the burn for 2 weeks without any food or water. Where he fed himself from the floor. Well, he's a botanist, off the floor and survived for 2 weeks. And RTE Radio Telstra did a program on it. And the government then very, very, very seriously took the burn very carefully. And what they discovered was that the Dutch, a lot of Dutch growers were sending hikers across the burn to literally steal the flora and fauna, bring back hundreds and hundreds of flowers. So they now have wardens on the burn to protect the burn,
Right.
That was going on. But it's down to David Bellamy for waking us up.
I didn't know he'd done that. I know he'd done many things, but that's another one I didn't know about. Amazing.
No, he lived on the burn.
He's always very encouraging to what we do.
Oh, he's a great man, but that's appalling what the BBC have done to him. I mean, it's a bigoted. And their new age, the London, I don't know, certainly won't refer to you as this, but the BBC is sort of the London Wine Bar Brigade. They get their opinions like pick and mix sweets in the supermarkets almost to match their clothing, you know. But I have a list of people. I have Kirsty Walk's a piece of work, and that as for that, two other appalling, not anti-women, by the way, but there's some of them, Emily Maitlis, what a piece of work she is, and Kathy Newman on Channel 4. Yeah. Paul Watson, who's a great speaker on the truth about immigration and things like that, he absolutely nailed her the other day. And she was, I'm not saying that because we're talking to you, but there's some appalling bigots, and they're all lefty liberals, New Age beliefs, yes. Pro the Euro, pro the EU. Oh my God, it's shocking. But no, David Bellamy is, thank you for referring to him, he's a mighty, mighty man. That's terrible. And he's getting on in years now. But I don't think he's in great health. But the other thing was, the science has settled. And that's they couldn't tell you what a temperature gauge is, the same people who say that. I mean, the science has settled. That's straight out of Hollywood, that is. But I hear that.
Science has never settled. That's what the science doesn't settle things. Science investigates
things. That's right.
If science was settled all the time, we'd still be in the Stone Age. Yeah. There would be no advance. I mean, it's the end of advance. Yeah. Consensus is the end of advance, the end of creation,
that's
creativity.
We're on a massive view of what's going on with the Patriot movement, whether it's RBN and GCN stations like us. But RBN, we're politically agnostic, with no hand in anybody, but just traditional, civilized, common sense, Christians, conservative values, nothing to do with the Conservative Party. But and the truth, unadulterated. But this thing now where these social media are now becoming monsters, Google, Facebook, and you experienced it on Twitter, they're pulling down anything like the truth, the barefaced truth. And I think they're working with the security services. They're partly because Google, you now discover, was funded by the CIA originally and all these organizations. And the European Union. Go back to the very, very, very beginning. It was an idea by the Americans to corral Europe together into one entity, and
it's a Wall Street and City of London creation. Well, it originated from a lot of German interests were involved at the start as well, but basically it was taken over by the Wall Street and the City of London to corral people, make a quiet workforce, which they can exploit and deindustrialize as appropriate, and hold them together.
There's a
so-called social chapter of giving out goodies, but I mean, actually, they don't, because when the chips were down for Greece, the Greek people were made to eat grass, and that is not looking after workers' interests.
Well,
the so-called workers' rights defense is a cover for a very bad multi super corporate international exploitation machine.
I'm warning people all the time about there's a bailout. We know it's bailout where the banks were bailed out and they should be allowed to go bust, like $1.5 trillion America, $800 billion in Britain. But the law of the land now is bail in. No financial writers. I want to go on that. Alex,
your savings can be robbed by the super rich.
Yeah.
And that has
yeah,
to
your
be stopped.
Bank account can be rifled. They can,
what's called the Glass-Steagall system.
They can take anything they like out of your bank account in the next crisis. But at any law, the law is already there. The G20 agreed this. They took 35% out of the Greek accounts, of the Cyprus accounts, in the last bust.
Really?
The Russian mafia. But
the G20 agreed this. When did the G20 agree that?
They agreed that about five, six years ago. Nobody
really?
Wrote it up. Okay. Nobody wrote this up. No, these financial journalists, and one of the most, we're coming to a caller now in a minute, but one of the most disgraceful rags out there, apart from the London School of Economics, and the Economist are vile, and the Financial Times out of London is disgraceful. They are basically cheerleading flunkies for the multinationals. They tell a pack of lies on every level. And anything that's friendly, they certainly would be pro the EU, pro the Euro, and pro global warming.
Yeah,
on every level. Shocking. But anyway, we call her an eco farmer up in Washington State, Jenna. Hello, Jenna.
Yep. Well, thanks for taking my call. This has been really informative. I appreciate the conversation, And I was just calling in because you mentioned my name. I'm like, oh, yeah, definitely.
Our
gardening group up here in the Pacific Smoky Northwest is still getting together and talking about avenues of how to, well, part of the group is going kind of left and saying we've got to get on the biochar bandwagon to be smart and keep up with the meme of NutriSmart farming. But the idea of using biochar as a solution to dealing with the wildfires that we have here in the Pacific Northwest as just something positive to be directing our energy for future gardening and food cultivation.
Well, explain what you do. You use biochar in the soil to help grow your crops you're growing there. Isn't that right?
Exactly. And with all the dead and dying biomass, there are ways of looking at waste as a resource, and especially here in the Pacific Northwest. Because with our economy and lots of young people with no sense about them, creating new economic opportunities is what I think about because I'm a parent, and I think that our next generation, they need extra support in figuring out what to do with their lives, that there is a future if you want to work at creating one.
Tell us how you said you got an excessively wet, you're in Washington State, Olympia, you got an excessively wet year this year, was it?
Not wet, we've had drought, we did have a little bit of...
Sorry, I got that wrong, drought, okay.
Yes.
But traditionally it's very wet up there, isn't it? That would fit in with what... Pierce has been saying about the forecast he did. You did a North American forecast as well,
That's right, I mean, the as I said, in July, for example, it was very cold in Europe, but very warm in Europe and cold in parts of, like, northeast USA, and it was quite hot in west parts of USA. But there were a lot of variations across the USA, and it was cold in Russia and warm in Japan, all to do with wild jet stream. I can't remember the details of the forecast, but they're all online. You can see the past forecast as well.
Unusual.
But I'm not quite sure what Jenna's saying, but I'm completely in support of making practical use of waste materials, and if you can put them back in the soil, that is extremely good.
Yeah, we were listening to President Trump review with the Pacific Northwest, and he asked the Secretary of the Interior to give a report about the West, because that's where he grew up, and he is acknowledging that managing of public lands has gone by the wayside, so that there's so much rotting debris. And, the lefties, they're just saying with the CO2 business is that, we need to reduce the CO2, but there
it's
are
a complete
people
diversion
in
from what needs to be done. It's completely irrelevant, and they should be doing practical, true green things like you're doing.
Making biochar. Unfortunately, the bureaucracies of air quality are even limiting controlled burns by firefighters to fight the fires by controlling it. But air quality has been limiting permits on that. And again, with the production of biochar, saying, no, it makes too much smoke. Well, we've been living in smoke for a week and a half now. Are going to the eye doctor. People have bloodshot eyes. They're walking around with. Everyone should be having masks on them. Seattle, newspapers are saying this is worse than China. This is unhealthy to be breathing this. Yeah, it's been awful.
Where's that smoke coming from, Jenna? Is that the wildfires in California and Oregon, is it?
And they could be coming from the east. I guess we're not exactly sure, but we have a lot of fires, wildfires in eastern Washington.
Right.
So whichever way the wind is blowing, we're getting smoked out. And there was some fire in B.C., British Columbia. This could be, it's hard to even look outside. But however, we did have a caller in on RBN saying he was up in the mountains, and he could see that there were grid-like patterns from his view above the smoke, as though there was more aerosol spraying in addition to the smoke that we're breathing in.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, that aerosol, what you're saying is chemtrails. No, it just appears to point out, we get massive reports all the time on RBN. It's a big part of people's lives right across America. This spraying by the government from jets is massive. It's going on. It's barium, aluminium. It's shocking. And it's designed to destroy people. It's not
exposed and stopped. I mean, there was an inquiry in the British Parliament about it, which concluded something, but it seemed, as far as I can see, it got terminated and not turned into very much. So it was a sort of semi-inquiry and inconclusive. I mean, there needs to be proper, deep inquiries, and the Dr. Strangelove type of scientists promoting this stuff ought to be stopped.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
And in terms of this...
Go ahead, yeah.
Well, I was just saying the forest fires issue or the wildfires issue is interesting. That it may be that because they're not allowed to burn, the small ones aren't allowed because they get stopped, then you do get these very big ones instead. So that has to be thought about. Another thing is, of course, you can, if you cut down the undergrowth, then you will reduce them. But you see, if you cut down undergrowth, that also reduces biodiversity. So I'm not quite sure how to deal with this, but more thought needs to go into forest fires rather than just getting desperate when there's great big ones, which do give, because they're hotter, do probably make worse pollution than many small ones.
Well, considering the amount of government agencies in America, you've got the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, who are responsible for all sorts of crime, who are an armed militia now. And I won't go into it, but the people got jailed for backburning. The Hammond family, Trump gave them a pardon. They were totally innocent people that were put through 3 years of hell. And all the farmers, all the ranchers, they call them, Arizona, stony desert ground, but they run cattle on it, have been wiped out of Clark County, Nevada. And the Bundys were the only one. You know, the famous Bundy family were involved in the Malheur and sit-in. And that was a shocking case. And the courts and the judges were handpicked to jail them. It's another story altogether.
Really?
But in California, I usually cover an insane, I won't story in California, but just from memory, they're painting some of the roads white in California as an effort to reverse global warming. Did you hear about that?
I'm
not joking,
mad.
That's going on.
They are completely mad.
Yeah, well, Jerry
I mean, you see, global warming is not happening. The world is actually cooling. If you look at actual satellite measurements, the surface temperature figures are fudged. As if you go to Twitter at Steve S. Goddard, he shows how various data sets in America have been deliberately altered. They say they've been modified or adjusted due to, you know, various factors.
Absolutely,
so forth, but it's just a con.
Very good. Okay, we go to this break and we'll be back in 3 or 4 minutes. Okay.
Okay.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Okay, and we're coming back in from the break, and we're talking to Piers Corbin of weatheraction.com about the true nature of the state of global warming. It's not global warming, it's global cooling, as is shown again and again and again. These 180-year cycles, what is the cycles that repeat? They're pretty consistent, aren't they, going back to the mini ice ages. Is it 180-year cycles or 160?
Well, yeah, it's not quite simple for the mini ice ages, but it's that sort of time, yes. There's cycles and other cycles, and when they come together, you get more. But the most basic cycles are, for example, the 22-year magnetic cycle of the sun. The numbers of sunspots go in an 11-year cycle, but they change in magnetic polarity each cycle. So there's an overall magnetic cycle of 22 years, which is the biggest signal in weather data, especially world temperatures. There's other cycles involving the moon, which are about 18 or 19 years for the, or 9 years if you do the half cycle, which is about the rotation of the moon's, the plane of the moon's orbit around the Earth, and that interacts with the solar wind in different ways, and that has a signal effect. And there's a lot of shorter ones, like 155 days is the average period between large solar flares.
I see.
And the smaller years is the stratospheric wind oscillation, for example.
This Maunder minimum we're in the beginning of now, do you expect that to be, like the others, or more severe?
Well, there's a lot of discussion going on about this now. Will it be like the Dalton minimum, which was mostly in the early 1800s, or will it be like the Maunder minimum, which was like late 1600s and into the early 1700s? I think it's likely to be colder than the Dalton minimum. Whether it'll be as cold as the Maunder minimum is not entirely clear. There's some arguments to say yes, and some recent work by some Russians I know who try and predict the solar cycles from the previous cycles seem to indicate that solar cycle 25, we're just in solar cycle 24, the declining part of it. Solar cycle 25, if it will be weak or very weak, I mean, everyone agrees it's going to be weak, but they're saying it's not going to be very weak. But I have to say, their methods have previously overstated, overexpected things. So I don't know. But they've got a view, you see, that it's not necessarily going to be a super cold one, but just a cold one.
I see.
I think it's open. I'm somewhere in between the two of them at present, the Maunder or the Dalton.
Okay. This other thing, which is probably the most difficult to estimate, underwater volcanoes affect the temperature of the sea and the ice caps and the Antarctic. Could you talk about that for a minute or two? How do you assess it, you know?
Well, there are thousands of underwater volcanoes, and there's different interesting, very interesting life forms around them as well, which are very little understood. Under West Antarctica, there's a lot of volcanoes, and these are causing the melting there. So the melting there is nothing to do with CO2 anyway, and the rest of Antarctica is got its ice levels increasing. Now, this increased volcanism we are seeing and increase of very large earthquakes is connected to the mini ice age we're moving into. In the past, all the very cold or cold periods of the Earth have been associated with more big earthquakes and volcanic activity. And this is because of the electromagnetic connections between the Earth and the Sun. Now, you might wonder, how can we have more activity like that when there's less solar activity? Well, the reason is that it's a bit like thinking about a tin of sugar. When you, if you tip a tin of sugar, then the sugar will come out in big dollops. But if you tap the tin, then it will come out in little bits and sort of flow. Now, the Earth is tectonic plates which are pushing into each other all the time, and the earthquakes are things waiting to happen, and they happen if a tectonic plate sort of gets a jolt. It was tries pushing, and then it gets a jolt, so it moves, and that causes an earthquake and also volcanoes. Now, if you've got low solar activity, then there's not so many shock magnetic shocks hitting the Earth, so the plates aren't moving so well, but they will do when you get a sudden shock from the Sun. Now, in the periods of quiet solar activity, you have very few shocks, and then you have some sudden shocks. And those will then trigger earthquakes, and some of these will be very large earthquakes, and there'll be related volcanic activity, which we're seeing as well. So we're moving into the mini ice age period as we predicted. But it's important to notice that the extra volcanoes generally follow, they come after the start of the general cooling, and we've already started some general cooling.
Oh.
And the increase of volcanism is following it. And if you look at previous mini ice ages, that has also happened. Although a lot of people at first sight just say, oh, it's more volcanism which has caused the cooling because of the smoke particles from the volcanoes, but that's not the case. That's only half the story. So probably the effect of volcanoes has been basically doubled. It's believed to be, it's been put forward as twice what it is, basically, because first we have the real cooling and then we have the volcanoes making it colder. So it's volcanoes is probably half of what is claimed.
Sure. Makes sense. About in recent years, there was a reduction in ice in the Antarctic, and that was due to volcanoes. Yes. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right, if you look at it. Yeah. That's right. And they haven't talked about that. I mean, the BBC are professional liars. It's a brainwashing machine. And they'll report extra ice somewhere, and they'll report, sorry, they won't report extra ice, they'll report an iceberg breaking away or some ice melting, and they won't tell you it's to do with volcanoes. And anyway, when they say these things like, oh, this piece of ice falling off Greenland or falling off Antarctica is 4,000 years old, as if it's like the biggest game since for 4,000 years, it's a complete nonsense. I mean, ice is flowing from the centres of these polar regions to the edges all the time, 24/7. So any piece of ice that breaks off Greenland is 4,000 years old, or whatever years old, and the same on the Antarctic. It's like seeing a tree blowing down and saying, oh, look, that tree's 100 years old. That doesn't mean that this is the biggest gale for 100 years. It means it's an old tree, right? So you know, the BBC and most of the mainstream media deliberately brainwash the public, especially children, in order to promote this complete nonsense, anti-science theory of man-made climate change.
Absolutely. Very, very, very good. And you've lived in the Northwest, Regina, for many years. How would you say the climate has ebbed and flowed up there, say, over the last 30, 40 years? Hello?
You're asking me, or...
No, I'm asking Jenna to tell you and me.
Oh, you're asking.
Jenna, what way has the climate changed up there over the last long term, say 30 years or so?
Most notably, because it's been 4 years that I've been working outside. So it's only recently where in the morning I'm outside over the past four seasons, early May, I'm feeling like I'm getting sunburnt. So I'm noticing this just because I'm outside more. But I can't really, you know, I spent a lot of time working indoors before that. So Brian would be the one to ask, but he's already in bed.
It's difficult. You can't conclude much from 4 years. You've got to have
But
and I think the thing in mostly speaking, the springs have got later. The sunshine in spring will be one thing. If you've got clear skies, you'll get it. But the global warmers told us we're going to have early springs and so forth. But that isn't the case. In Western Europe this year, basically we had no spring. We had the winter carried on. And the end of May, we had a bit of spring, and it turned straight into summer. You know, and a sudden little heat wave in the end of May, early June. That's the shape of things to come, basically. So longer winters, starting earlier, ending later, very short springs, relatively short autumns, and shorter summers, which will have wild changes in them, including some very hot bursts and very cold bursts.
Sure, sure. Very now, good. I do remember Brian saying about 50 years ago, he remembers as a boy here, where it was heavy rains all the time, like longer winters.
Right.
So when we had snaps of this in the past few years, he's like, this is just how it was when I was growing up.
Yeah, that's interesting. And he's about 60 or 70 now, is he?
Yeah, 60.
Yeah, because you see, there is a basic 60-year cycle in all weather. It's not necessarily a detailed, but it is about extremes. And this comes from a sort of musical beats between the 22-year magnetic cycle of the sun and the 9.3-year modulation by the rotation of the line of the moon's crossing of the ecliptic, the line of nodes, as it's called. And that gives you a 60-year beat, There's three 22s are 66, and 7 times 9 is 63, and 6 9s are 54, or whatever, you see. So the average turns out that you get basically a 60-year pattern. So extremes happening now probably happened, or if you have a year of a lot of extremes, say a heavy rain, then you're likely to have that type of thing 60 years before or thereabouts. And if you look at a lot of these records about, oh, we haven't had a tornado this big or a hurricane this big in this area except for about 60 years ago, and that is quite a common occurrence. Other occurrences are repeats of 18 or 19 years, which is the 2 times 9.3, or you have a 9-year repeat, or you have 7-year repeats, which is a stratospheric wind pattern. But a lot of these patterns do show up, but the general one of big significance, especially in America, is the 60-year one.
Very good, very good. The it's shocking you want to say something, Jennifer?
Well, just the comment in that we do have some people that are aware of this, like our Secretary mm-hmm. of Interior, Ryan Zink, and he's commenting there is no relativity to global warming with these fires. He says this.
And
the papers are just shooting him down, just trying to turn him into, like, all of these reports. They're just like, we need to get him out of here, and they're racking up all these accusations against him because he was a mountain man. He grew up out this way, and he's like,
yeah, and he's seen all these fires before. Absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. So. Well, the statistics show there's nothing special anyway. Except I think it might show you have less smaller ones and more bigger ones because they've got more attempts at control. So you're fighting against nature, and then nature fights back, sort of thing, put simply.
Sure.
But the problem with the media on this is that any piece of weather extreme is deemed to be man-made climate change, and they don't report the ones which they don't like. For example, a lot of cattle died in some cold blasts in America a couple of years ago. That was hardly reported at all. And in this last, in July, and June, July, and parts of August, media were blazing away about Western Europe heatwave. They didn't talk about the Russian super cold or the llamas dying in South America from super cold, or the super cold in Australia. They just talked about Western Europe and also some heat in Japan. Right, but the overall picture was completely distorted.
My yes. What's ranged against the truth here is shocking. Like the BBC in Britain and the mainstream media, NASA, mm-hmm. the UN, the European Union. It's a shocking, massive giant of propaganda against this. But go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, hopefully. Because Donald Trump has removed some of the worst people at the tops of NASA and NOAA, that's his aim, and he has changed some things and changed the rules, that it might be that some of the people lower down in NASA who include, genuine good scientists who I've met, they might now get a more free rein, able to speak the truth. But up till now, a lot of things have been limited. See, for example, I went to a conference in New York and gave a speech about climate change and so on. And a guy there invited me to the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, which is the big rocket production place. And he said, "Piers, well, we want you along to talk about what you're doing." Right, but nothing happened, And I asked him the next year, well, at the conference again, what happened? I was willing to come, but I didn't get didn't hear anything from you. He said, "Oh yes. Well, sorry, it was a good idea, but it got squashed from above." There's people down there who do want to advance science, but there's political control from above which will prevent certain advances. Because obviously, me coming there talking about solar activity would mean that the stuff they're peddling about CO2 would be clearly nonsense.
Well, these are very good. And that and the plethora of laws enacted in the European Union, in America, and in Britain, based on propaganda. I mean, this is shocking.
Yes.
Like, if you have the right kind of judges, you go to court and get these laws stood down, right?
Yes. Well, you should do,
in some ways.
There's all sorts of...
That's another one.
Well, okay. It's various forms of mind control, yes.
Absolutely, indeed. We have another caller calling it Stephen in Fort Worth. Hello, Stephen. Hello?
Hello, yes, sir.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, you have a question for Piers Corbyn or all that?
Yep.
Go ahead.
Sure. I'm actually interviewing Christopher Bolin in San Antonio, Texas next month.
Okay.
And I was actually going to ask him a question, and maybe curious to hear what you have to say about it.
Okay.
I guess it's fair to say that we live in a democratic republic. Would you say that?
Mm. Well, it's called the Democratic Republic, yes, but there's attacks on democracy mounting, I would say, and there's more
Absolutely.
And more control by, well, what Eisenhower warned of, the military-industrial complex, and now it's basically takes the form of a Wall Street super-rich arms selling operation, which, you know, is out to brainwash and regiment everybody. So I would say democracy is declining unless people are able to fight back. And of course, with broadcast networks,
Stephen, I'm not trying to split a hair, but America is not meant to be a democracy. I'm not splitting a hair. It's meant to be a constitutional republic, republic. Limited government in a constitutional republic. That's what it's meant to be. But the constitution has been hijacked. Just to say that, okay? Go ahead,
okay.
Stephen. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say that isn't the future supposed to be all these different countries being absorbed into a new world order? Is that not the agenda? So that, you know, all these...
Well, that's
the United Nations.
Agenda, yes, and I think it's very scary because who's going to be running this other than the super rich who are already in charge? So it'll be
ever-increasing
concentration of wealth and power.
Yeah, the same people are going to be controlling that. So it's nothing's going to change. So I guess what I'm saying is the only way to actually to escape the human farming system is to transcend the infrastructure and actually challenge the superstructure. By going off the grid, living off the grid, and creating a network amongst these solar tech and intentional farming communities, and living in a work trade scenario.
Okay, yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. Well, I think that's a good thing, but you have to bear in mind the cities have got huge numbers of people in them compared with the countryside. So although this might be an example, it's got to be a solution which also stops the, you know, brainwashing and control and super exploitation of people living in cities in Britain it's 0 hours contracts, as they call them, and in America it's the same sort of thing, i.e., you know, average wages in real terms are going down, and the middle classes all over the Western world are being suppressed, and the super rich are getting richer. That's what is happening.
Yeah.
So the way that money is divided has to be dealt with as well at a higher level than the exemplary activity that you mentioned, which I think is good. But you know, we've got to grasp the whole picture. That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else, Stephen?
I think that's it for now, but I appreciate it.
Okay.
Well, thanks for the question. I think that's very important, and you should press ahead.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Sorry. Jenna, are you going to say something, John?
Well, I did need to make a comment because our education has been taken away from just local state influence decided by the people into these huge systems of education that have taken an entire generation away. So it's moving back to finding the connection within the family units. You know, there's just so many aspects of reclaiming and empowering local people to make decisions. And in our small little microcosm here, you know, joining with our local fire department to put on a demonstration in a public scenario going against air quality is kind of like making biochar on this is just what we can do here to reduce our fire load and think about and talk about if a fire comes through, how can we deal with it? It brings decisions.
Well, you're at risk. You're at risk, Jenna, of being designated a terrorist and being sarcastic.
Jenna's dealing with the whole picture, you see, isn't she? She's dealing with the whole picture. That is good.
Right.
You know, how are you going to put the fires out and make biochar? There may be ways of doing this stuff in closed spaces. I don't know, but you know, producing these fertilizer type things must be good, and it ought to be made possible to do instead of being attacked, which is, if I've understood you rightly, is what's happening.
Exactly, yeah.
Am I still on?
Oh, yeah.
By the way.
But the education and modeling, you know, model by good deeds and model by goodwill is, I think, what the individual is
faced with. Education by example.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, I'm all for that, yes.
Piers, we're very clued in on this station and right across America about the appalling state of an education system called Common Core, which is full of propaganda.
Right.
I mean, it's a vile. And a lot of parents have taken their children out of school and doing homeschooling, but it's hard to find an individual school that's not polluted with all this. It's shocking at every level. Every week I read out in this program, outrageous happenings. And like down to the triviality of children being arrested for not selling lemonade off a lemonade stand near their home, being arrested for not having a permit, and sending armed police around them. That's where America has got to now.
The same sort of thing has been happening in Britain as well. I mean, I think it's worse in America right now. But this mentality of regimentation and brainwashing is completely unacceptable. And you see, the teachers don't. Well, there's plenty of, a lot of teachers are quite ignorant. I mean, you know, they believe in man-made climate change and they just repeat it. And when I've been to my son's school and said, this isn't true, they sort of look at me as if, where am I from? You know what I mean? They're repeating a catechism, which is the opposite of schooling. Children should be discussing the pros and cons of this stuff because it's not. Well, even if it was settled, they should still discuss the pros and cons. But it's a controversial thing anyway.
Right.
So they ought to discuss all angles, as they should discuss all angles of everything. You know.
Oh yeah. Well, what you find is, I'm sure a cornerstone of the New Age belief system is global warming. Take that away from them, and they'll scream their heads off. They're absolutely unhinged. That's why I'd like.
No, that is true.
You know,
they
I'm
won't
sure
discuss it. I mean, you can. You see, it's completely bizarre because if I was talking about the mass of a neutrino and measurements of it, then there'd be no problem. You know, people would say, "Oh, yeah, okay, this measurement says this, that says that. So, what do you think?" But you see, if you say something about global warming, they immediately fly off the handle, won't talk about evidence, and accuse me of being an agent of, well, I don't know, a terrorist, a denier, an agent of the oil companies or something, even though the oil companies support the man-made climate change theory because they make money out of it, but they, they're labelled as the enemy because mm-hmm. they're unpopular. You know. So the rational debate ends when you get onto global warming and the religion begins.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, a completely false religion begins.
Right.
Absolutely. Very good. So true. But you do a lot of public meetings and things. And how have you found, to say, the last year or two? Is there less resistance to this?
Well, things have changed. I think the sort of left-right divisions have to be, unravelled. And basically, the key division is
We're not finished yet. We have 5 minutes after the break, and we'll finish up then. But hang on to that, and we'll come back to that in a few minutes. Okay.
Okay.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Okay, we've come straight back in from the break because we're running out of time. And now we're finishing up with Piers Corbin, and Jenna's on the line. But no, Piers, you're a star for coming on. Just that last question I was going to ask you. How have you found, you've been doing public meetings for years. How have you found the last 3 years? Any easier to convince people?
Yes. What we've found is that the students are more willing to accept what we have to say, and I've been invited to a number of university events, like in University College and in Exeter and in Imperial College, students, not all students, but a significant number are prepared to see what is going on. And I know in Imperial College, for example, some students in physics refuse to attend these climate change nonsense lectures. They just said it's a waste of time, we don't believe it, which I thought was quite good, you know.
Very good.
And in these festivals I've been to, the reception has been good. They've been green festivals, you see, and I expected a lot more opposition than we had. And people saying, well, okay, we'll go by what you say, namely that the CO2 story is nonsense. But that doesn't stop us promoting what would be called true green. And we'll oppose the fake green, and we're not going to rely on the CO2 story for what we do, because the CO2 story is a lie. And that means that it will get exposed eventually. And if you rely on it, what you want, which might be good, will get undermined. So, you know, rely on the truth.
I'm delighted. I'm delighted.
I would say, you know,
news.
The winds are changing a bit. And I went to a one of these Labour Momentum conferences recently where, again, it's... Mm-hmm. This is the youth, younger people in the Labour Party, for example. And there was, a fair reception of what I had to say. Again, more positive.
Well, that's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, than in
really?
The past. Yeah. No, I think things are changing, and it's largely because of social media, Twitter, organisations like RBN and so forth, and Windows on the World, which I work with a lot in internet, TV, radio setup. Which is getting through. Although the listeners are not necessarily very many, they're the sort of people who talk to others, you know what I mean? So, you know, for every one listener you've got, it probably represents 10 people they're going to talk to and change.
Well, that's true. I'm really glad to hear that. I ask people that on this kind of thing, is it changing? And considering what we're up against, the deluge, gargantuan giant deluge, and the mainstream... Social media, which has nothing to do with I don't need is attacking this as well. And so I'm amazed it's filtering through to a younger generation who, a lot of them were raised on Facebook and their mobile phone. They're raised on Facebook and their mobile phone, and they're emotionally bereft. A lot of them, I don't mean to be nasty, but that there's got a shocking spate of mental illness occurring now, young people, who literally have been addicted to the
television
for years.
It might be with the mobile phones close to their heads, or it might be just the propaganda and the falsity of everything they're told. So it's
not spending enough time.
A lot of people have become cynical, maybe, or. Well, people have been brought up to not rely on evidence, but rely on so-called experts, which are people trotted out by the BBC or the...
Which is very dangerous.
Saying it must be true and so forth. So, you know, on with accountability and evidence-based science, I would say.
Yeah,
thank you for getting out there, Pierce. I think you are making a huge change.
Okay, well, thank you, Jenna, and thank you, Pierce. I'll talk to you during the week, and this man has given up his night's sleep to talk to us, and he doesn't get paid.
Well, great.
But
thank you.
Thank you very much indeed.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.